Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I'm going to today share a lesson entitled, Change Your Frame, Change Your Life. Change your frame, change your life. Interesting title. It'll make sense if we get into this. There is a lot around this concept of frame, of framing, I want to talk to you about today. And we're going to use as a text, we're going to come from the book of Romans, chapter 12. And if you look there, we will start at that text. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Amen. That's where we'll start today, looking at that text. We have talked about renewing the mind on many occasions. It's one of the most important teachings and lessons from Scripture we learn in our lives, the importance and power of a renewed mind. I want to approach this today from a different perspective. I want to use this term frame as a parable today. And because framing is a term we have understood in different ways, it's a way to understand the importance of renewing the mind. And I want us to get this because there are some very important foundational lessons in our lives as believers in Christ. And the renewing of the mind is one of those. So much so until I'll say to you that salvation, being born again, is of course the most important miracle of our lives. But being born again doesn't transform your whole life. Being born again transforms your heart, your spirit. You become a new creation. But something else has to happen to experience that transformation, to live it out in your life in this world requires renewing or changing the mind, renewing the mind. So this fresh look I'm going to offer to you today, concept of frames and framing, I believe will help us appreciate why renewing the mind is so very important, and that the power and the grace and the change we've experienced in our hearts can be lived out in the world around us. And that's a key right there. So let me just say this to you, that we're going to use the parable of a frame, okay? The parable of a frame. And when we speak of framing, we all have different points of view. We have different thoughts about that. Some might think of framing as an actual picture frame, right? That works. We frame something important to us, something we like to view, something memorable for us, like family or, you know, some place we visited or artwork. We frame that, put it in the frame. We also, if you're into photography, as you know I am, they know the importance of the frame to compose your image. The frame is whatever you choose to put, you know, in that frame, side to side, top to bottom. Of all the scenery around you, you're framing one part of everything you're looking at. That's called the frame. We also think of framing as a position or a point of view, as a frame, a position or one's point of view. You might think of a frame of mind, right? Which is someone's disposition. So these are terms with which we're all familiar, and I want to ask you to think on these and to understand the power of this. Now, here's an example of a frame of photography. Now, you know what this is, all right? That's a Golden Gate Bridge. in California, San Francisco. And I've been there. That's a drone picture I took, matter of fact. And I've been here several times. It's an amazing sight. But here's another frame I'm going to show you to give you context. Now, watch this. Now, this is a picture I took of a man I've seen twice. I've seen the same man twice when I visit this Golden Gate Bridge. Obviously, he works there. And the amazing part, well, I saw this man the first time, and I saw him like almost 10 years later. Same man. And he's a painter. He's painting the bridge, the inside of the bridge. And, you know, this bridge, because of its location in the salt water and all that, it has to be constantly painted. It's called Golden Gate, but the color is a marine orange-red is the color. Well, they got to paint that bridge inside and out. So this man's job is to paint the bridge. And obviously he comes out, he got to come out for air often. But so here's the idea where here's a picture frame, or I framed a picture. But in that, I'm showing you that here's one man representing lots of people who work on this bridge probably every day. While you drive across the bridge or stand back and behold the beauty, there are people inside working on that thing all the time. So again, you know, framing is interesting. We frame something up. Again, what a beautiful bridge. Yes, it is. Then, oh, that's right. There are people. There are people making this thing work who spend their whole career, some of them, possibly inside this thing painting it. So framing is very powerful. And here's the definition of framing. In the social sciences, framing is comprised of concepts and perspectives on how individuals and groups organize, perceive, and communicate about reality. Now think about that. We all do it. We all experience it. And so that the framing is the concepts, the perspectives on how individual people or groups organize, perceive, and communicate about reality. Now reality, you know, isn't the same for everybody. I mean, there's reality and there's reality, right? And we know, especially in this past election season, that people can frame something, and that frame can be completely inaccurate. It can be a bald-faced lie. It can be a distortion, or it can be accurate. And that depends on the concepts and perspectives that people choose to put in their minds. That's why I want to talk to you about renewing the mind and looking at this framing concept, because you may have, some frames, some concepts, some perspectives that are not entirely accurate based on God's word or even based on objective facts. You know, objective reality, okay, listen, there's subjective and objective, right? Subjective is how I feel about something. Objective is the way it actually is, separate from what I think or feel about it. And it's important for us, and we have our objective perspectives, that's important, but it's more important to have objective reality. Here's a good one that the guys will like or don't like, okay. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. He's the GOAT. Now listen, people say, I don't like Tom Brady. I don't like him either. I don't like the Patriots, but he's the best. Objectively, Tom Brady is the best quarterback who ever played, right? That's a point. So, you know, most of us didn't like the Patriots. You know, I think Ed Owens called the coach Bill Belichick. But the thing about greatness is it's objective. It don't matter what you feel about it, what frame you got. All right. Brady is the best they ever played up to this time. So it's important then for us to really understand the power of being objective. Learning to be objective, appreciating facts that so we don't get caught up in believing something that's not accurate or in believing a lie. We do not look at something or someone and then apply a frame to it. Watch this. Rather, people constantly project into the world around them frames that allow them to make sense of it. So it's not like we see somebody or hear about something and then apply a frame to it. No, we come to something, we come to people with our frames, our preconceived notions, our concepts, our projections. We bring all that into it. And that's why we experience a lot of heartbreak and a lot of difficulty in our current society, because people are more content to go with what they think, how they feel, what they've been taught, rather than understand or get educated about what the objective facts actually are. For example, if I say inner city youth, well, whatever frame you're bringing is going to take that phrase and view it a certain way. So many, you know, will take that to say, okay, yeah, kids without fathers, right? Kids who are in trouble, right? Youth, black youth in particular, minority youth, you know, who have poor education and failing schools. And so there is this connotation that inner city, anything is something bad, something wrong with it. And hey, excuse me, I'm in the city, you know, I'm straight out the hood, you know, and it's not like it was, oh, Pastor, it was much worse back then. No, it wasn't much worse back then. No, today we got social media. They've been, listen, our hearts have been broken about this murder, mass murder on Adams Street, which is like where I grew up. And, but we had mass murders when I was a kid. I remember some, I remember a couple of them distinctly. So it's not like these things are new, or that inner city means mass murder and all that. For example, during the summertime with the riots and so forth, Chicago had situations going on and folks said, well, Chicago's on fire. No, Chicago was never on fire. Not the whole city. All right. I mean, it was no minimizing the wrong people did. My daughter lives in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? So no, she was never on fire. Okay. But she understood where the trouble was. My point is, when I say inner city, we bring our frame to it. We don't just decide what it is. We already have a preconceived notion. And hence, there are all these false narratives. For example, people say, well, Chicago's the murder capital of the state, of the whole United States. No, it's not. Chicago is like down number 25 or something, you know. Now, there is no acceptable rate of murder. I don't care. It doesn't matter how many or few. There's no acceptable rate. But we hear Chicago and hear, okay, that's the murder capital. So these are frames that we experience. And either we're thinking a certain way, or people are projecting on us certain ways of thinking. I learned to say this. We talk about at-risk kids. And at-risk youth, we hear that term, at-risk, a lot. I heard a brother out of California who ministers and works with young people. He changed his speaking, changed his frame. He calls them at-promise kids. I like that. Not at risk, but at promise. And that's a completely different frame, because if you see kids at risk, then you see them as perpetually in trouble. And sadly, some people need kids to be in trouble to raise funds, you know, to have a business or have an organization. But when they're at promise, the objective is to help them and bring them up to not need our assistance anymore. At promise is the frame that I would suggest we go with. So again, these are any number of words you can bring up, even black males, you know, the black man, is frames attached to that. All types of perspectives and concepts are attached to certain words and people. So hence the importance of renewing the mind. Now listen, this is a message for believers in Christ. People in the world cannot renew their minds. You know, people who are not really serving Christ can't do it. Well, as far as believers, it's for us to renew our minds and to have the strength of character and the conviction to want to preach the gospel and help people become saved and help them renew their minds. But until people change, we have to understand people are going to act like they are, you know, act like who they are, the sinners. They're going to act like, you know, people who don't have the right perspective, who will speak down on inner city, black youth, black men. So don't get overly upset about it. Don't fret about that. Understand what the cause of it is, which is people with these bad frames about other people and the places in which they live. Last summer, I was downtown and doing a project, and I set my drone up and I filmed the Monument Circle for the first time. I had a good time just flying around. I filmed it, came out real nice, and I posted it on my Facebook business page. And so I got a comment, I had some good comments. One guy said, who was from the city, he said, "You went downtown? You were downtown?" And said, I'm afraid to go downtown, you know. And all this, I said, well, you know, I just responded, I don't have any fear of going downtown. But here it was, framing, right? His frame was, they've been riding down there, and it's all jacked up, all messed up, and it's dangerous down there. My frame, I was raised in the city. I'm not afraid of the city. I'm not afraid of anywhere in the city. I have no fear because I know that most people are not up to no good. But then the other frame that we combat and deal with, and this guy had in his mind, was there's something dangerous about the quote unquote city. Well, that's his frame. And this, we deal with this all the time, don't we? But how do we deal with it? Well, first of all, don't let it change you. Don't let other people's framing of your circumstances or your heritage or your people or you affect you. Please don't allow it to happen. And as you strengthen yourself and walk in the grace of God and be encouraged and stay in the word and build up yourself in your most holy faith, have the mind of Christ. There's a frame. That's a really good frame. The mind of Christ is the best frame of all. Now, let's go forward here and share some more with you. Now, let me go back to this previous point I made. Again, we don't just look at something or someone and then apply a frame. No, we are constantly projecting into the world around us frames. Now, framing can manifest in thought or communication. Frames in thought, listen, consist of mental representations, interpretations, and simplifications of reality, right? When people don't want to understand, don't want to learn or read or be educated, they just simplify. They just simplify because they don't want to understand you or your environment or who you work with or what you're working at. They want to just simplify. And so that framing allows them to create a mental representation, an interpretation, and a simplification of what really deserves a lot of attention. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, as a pastor and a community type person, I'm always in conversations with people and interact with people. And so sometimes people ask a question like, well, what do I think about racial division. Now, you know, sometimes the person asking it is in the frame of, just give me a statement. I'm in the frame of, you got to sit down and understand this. Take some time and get into it. Let me give you a couple of things to read, and I'll schedule time to sit down and talk to you about it, and we'll dialogue for real, right? People want these elevator speeches, you know, so I just decline to talk to people who are demanding an answer to a complex question because their frame, they got one of those, one of those simplified, simpleton type frames. They want to just square this away, say this, think that, and be done with it. And that does not serve the purpose of God or the purposes of a healthy society, right? Something else, people, we all build mental filters. And we use these filters to make sense of our world. And so that, same point, really, that rather than think it through and understand it and get to know somebody who's dealing with something, just simplify, put a filter up, and use that filter when talking to people and trying to interpret somebody's world. Now, I recently read President Obama's book, A Promised Land. It's a serious read, 700 some odd pages. I read it. And so one of the things that stood out to me, among many things, is that now here we have an educated, accomplished, decent, and a competent man. Objectively, Barack Obama, highly educated, accomplished, decent, and competent. And yet this man, as the most powerful man in the world, as president of the United States for 8 years, was still put in the frame of a black person by a derogatory term. I'll leave it at that. See, this is what people's filters and their frames are about. Now, again, I'm not telling you to worry about people. Understand folk, okay? Don't get overly upset. Just know where you are, where you stand, and then try to help people who are open to be helped. One of my reasons for being on Facebook, and you've seen my posts if you're online, I do a lot of posting. I'm not trying to convince people who are just dyed-in-the-wool, whether they're white supremacists, Christian nationalists, white nationalists. I'm not trying to change them. I'm trying to reach the people who are on the edges, who caught up in that, whose frame is subject to be influenced and changed. And I've seen a lot of people, who have experience, understanding, who've changed their frame based on things I've shared with them. You have experienced the same. I mean, my wife's educator, Jonathan, others, you know, who educate. You're all about creating the right frame. You're all about creating frames for young people through the education. Amen. So it's a very important topic. And again, I'm still on the word. And I haven't forgot about Romans 12. So hang with me here, okay? This is all relevant to renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. Again, change your frame. Change your life. Let's go back and talk about Romans, the book of Romans, and get into this next part here. So, Romans 12 does not address salvation because no amount of works produces salvation, right? The scripture talks about be transformed, don't be conformed to the world. Those are not rules to be saved. Saved people don't work for salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. Romans 12 is about transformation or metamorphosis. In fact, the Greek word for transform is our word metamorphosis. In other words, this is about caterpillars becoming butterflies. That's good, isn't it? This process, metamorphosis, where there's the egg, the caterpillar, the chrysalis, the adult emerges, an adult butterfly. And that's the word that the Bible used, that the Apostle Paul used by the grace of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is, we are the same person, but we're transforming, and our nature is the same, right? But our frame is changing. And so that in Christ, that egg represents being born again. That is going from a sinner to a saint. But then the whole other process here following that is what happens to believers in Christ. That's why he says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That we're not transformed only by being born again. How many saved people do you know who are not fully transformed? I know one, and he's talking to you, okay? All right? And so we need the renewing of the mind, the metamorphosis, the change to happen. And this matter of framing frames how we see God, how we see ourselves, how we see the world, how we see family, how we see money. All of this is about renewing the mind and changing our frames. Okay, hope you get that. It's a very important concept. Let's talk a little further and go further in this discussion about how we experience change. Now, remember, covenant makes everything better. We talked about this last time I had a chance to teach. Covenant makes everything better. That is, if you want to make something right and make it good, make a covenant. And we saw that going back to the book of Genesis. We saw that with Joseph. We saw that with Noah and Moses. We saw it, of course, ultimately with Jesus, who gave his life shed his blood, gave his body up for us to make a covenant. And so covenant, so Romans 12, that whole chapter, that whole part of the chapter is an expression of covenant benefits and responsibilities. And this is a really big part of how our minds are renewed and how we experience change that doesn't just come and go. Let's look now at this and see what we can learn from here. So again, there are benefits and there are responsibilities in covenant. Now again, looking back again at the text, again, Romans 12, the part there that says verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now again, conform to the world, right? That's a frame. That's being framed to the world's standards, the world's philosophies. And now all of us not wrong, by the way. There's some stuff in the world like science is good to conform to things that are correct. But the idea of the world really speaks of the cosmos, which is the way people do things. And we know that a lot in the world is dead wrong. But be transformed, metamorphosis, by the renewing of your mind. Now, here in this text, I want to show you covenant blessings or covenant responsibilities and benefits. So first of all, here are some of the responsibilities of a covenant right from the scripture. So Paul said, present yourself to God. Well, that's what we do. We're in covenant with God. We're in a mutually binding association based on love and trust. In your frame, you belong to God, right? I mean, see yourself in a picture frame, right? Make a picture frame for yourself. Put your face in it, right? And in your frame, you belong to God. Next, do not be conformed. Don't accept a frame that does not belong to you, right? So, you know, we're not people who go around hating on other people and mistreating other people and not taking time to understand somebody's position. We don't presume. David said, keep your servant back from presumptuous sins. So presumption is a sin, actually. Think soberly. All right, he said there, don't let anything into the frame. Don't let everything into the frame of your mind. Right. Think soberly or seriously. So there's some things we ought not even let on our mind. I mean, it may come in a thought. Just dismiss it. You know, there's a lot of foolishness going around. People get up in meetings and barbershops and things, start talking. And, you know, that's why I carry some noise-canceling headphones. You know, I carry my Apple AirPod Pro, which cancels noise, because I just don't want to hear stuff. I don't need to hear people talking stupid around me. And I can't leave where I am at the moment. I'm not going to stop them from talking. So I choose to not pay attention to it and block it out. So think soberly. Finally here, was more than these, but here's one more point. Walk in faith. You trust what God can do more than anything else. That's what Paul also talked about when he said God has dealt to each one the measure of faith, right? You've got a measure of faith. You need to use it. Use it. Trust God. Trust what God can do more than anything else. Now, here's some benefits of that same covenant we have here in Romans 12. Be transformed. This is the power to change your frame. We can change. That's one of the big lies about, you know, the horoscopes. You know, if you're a Sagittarius, Aries, or is it Aries? I don't know if they are. Cancer? I don't know if they are, but whatever they are, okay? They say you're born under this star and whatever. No, whatever. That's foolishness. We have the power to change. Renewed mind. This is the process of how we go from one frame to another, right? And that's our topic today. I'm going to share more about that next week. It's the actual process of going from one frame to another. Walk in excellence. You know, he says that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which I interpret as walking in excellence. And that's your mindset. That's your mindset. Would you choose to think about how you do what you do. Live in the will of God. That is what you anticipate, right? What do you anticipate? The perfect will of God. And anticipation is powerful. You know, hope is a part of that. And it's important to put the right picture in your mind and have the right expectations and to be hopeful and encouraging to yourself and to others. Then finally, think highly of yourself. Now, when I read the scripture, it seemed like it isn't saying that, but it said not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly. All right. So then now what he says here, not to think more highly of yourself. He's saying, think highly of yourself. He said, just don't think more highly of yourself. Please hear what I'm saying. Okay. Because if you got that real bad frame of mind, you think the Bible is saying you got to think bad of yourself. How dare you think of yourself as any good? How dare you? And that's the frame some people have. Take a scripture like that and make it negative. But really it's saying, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, which is think highly. Just don't think more highly. I mean, you know, for example, I'm a pretty good Bible teacher, but I ain't the greatest preacher you ever heard. See, I mean, I know where I am. So think highly of yourself, but don't think more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, right? That goes back to being serious minded and having the right perspective and having the right frame. See, having the correct frame as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Hope that makes sense to you, because there's a lot we have to process in our day. Many of us have been beat down by circumstances. Of course, you know, COVID has been a whole other challenge to us. Although if you really have the right frame of mind, well, listen, I think COVID has helped us develop better frames. Because if you were a person, for example, like, I don't got no time, I got no time for computers. Well, you made some time, didn't you? You found a way. I don't like technology. I don't love it either. But I got to use it, and I use it, all right, for the glory of God. And so we've had to learn and adapt, because we aren't meeting as a church often. And some, you know, don't come at all because of concerns of COVID stuff, which is fine. But the point is, you've had to lock in to some other way of getting the word. And here we are now using technology. So again, frames can change. Think highly of yourself. Just don't think more highly than you ought to think, okay? Now let's look at some other part of this. Go back to the book of Genesis. I'm wrapping up here, but let's go back to where it all began, all right? And let's lay a foundation from the Word of God about the importance of having the right frame and where the proper frame came from. Well, Genesis chapter 1, the book of beginnings, is where it all began. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. See, in his image, he created him, male and female. He created them. Wow, it doesn't get better than that. That we are image bearers. We bear the image and the likeness of God. And that's there's no better place to start with recognizing, with framing your life, all right? Framing who you are, why you are, is to see that you are made. I mean, all people, not just Christians, everybody. Every person was made in God's image and likeness. And of course, in Christ, we become realized and actualized in Christ. But every person, has that value of being made in God's image and likeness. So we say this, that we are frames for the image and likeness of God. So take that frame that you put around your face, you know, put your face in the frame in your mind. And so you are of the image and likeness of God, right? No matter what people may say about you or about people, no, people are made, even those who have lost, you know, sight of God, who've gone reprobate, but God's intention was every one of us is made in God's image and likeness. We are frames. You are a frame for the image and the likeness of God. That is so encouraging. Now, let's go look at Genesis. Let's go to chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2. So here's where we see the process, how God began to frame man and woman. So Genesis 2 and 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Right? There's his frame. Tend and keep. Take care of what God has given you. That's one of the first jobs of any man, any boy, you know, is to take care of what you got. All right? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. All right? And verse 18, God said, Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Amen, God. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. So man is a generic term for male and female. There's two words for male or man in the Bible. There is man as the sex gender. There is man as humanity. All right. So God's talking about man or mankind, we sometimes say. And yet there is male and female, right? Are the you know who God made. So God took woman from man's side, not from his back, from his side, and made a helper comparable to him. Well, there's the frame. Now we know that, you know, those of us who are believers, we have no controversy about what marriage is supposed to be about, man and woman. Now we don't go beat people down who don't agree with that, because they got their own frame. See, that's their frame. But our frame is based on objective reality and God's word. Now going on here, let's look at this. So God gave Adam and Eve a frame, but Satan came to change their mind by changing their frame. He came to change their frame and break their connection to God, something the devil still does today. Genesis 3 says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't that something? How sly the enemy is to take what God said and make it sound like, you know, I know all about God. And sometimes in our world, in our lives, in our circumstances, the people come along who act like they know everything. They'll give you enough knowledge, or they'll say enough to make you think they know what's going on. They don't have a clue. They're just faking. Their whole frame is fake, phony, you know, inauthentic. But here comes the devil in the garden trying to persuade Eve, and then Adam, who's right there with her, by the way. So don't blame her, because Adam was there the whole time watching the devil deceive Eve. So Adam was responsible. But watch this. It says, verse 2. So the woman said, she said to the serpent what God told them. We may eat of the trees of the garden, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And here's the serpent said, went straight against God. You will not surely die. And that's when the frame changed. See? Now, the frame, actually, let me back up. The frame didn't change when she said that. The frame changed, listen to me, when the conversation started. When the conversation started with the devil. When Adam let the conversation start, right? He never should have allowed her to talk to the devil or to the serpent, you know, he was called then. So in our frames, sometimes things come up. And I remember I was watching, my wife and I were watching Andy Griffith. And there's a scene where Barney Fife has to deal with something. And he said, you got to nip it in the bud.
It's got to stop right now. Nip it. Nip it in the bud.
Nip it in the bud. And it's a funny scene, but yes, we got to nip things in the bud. That is, don't go all the way down to the point of having to make a decision whether to go with the devil or not. No, don't even have the conversation. Don't even entertain the question. Listen, y'all, there are some things you ought not even look at. Sometimes people send me, they'll send me a link of something to look at, and I can see it's something really stupid. Now, I know it's meant to be. Now, listen, I like sharing funny things, and that's different, but some conspiracy theory. Somebody sent me a link about 5G causing coronavirus. That's like last March, you know. That was going around, okay? And I thought, see, now, guess what I didn't do? I didn't even look at it. I just deleted it straight away. Now, if he asked me, had I seen it, I wasn't going to lie. But thankfully, he never asked me because I'm not going to entertain. I know how frames get changed. That's why gossip is bad. When someone gossips about somebody and you allow somebody to talk to you about somebody, you know, whoever, pastor, whomever, then your frame changes. Your frame would change about the person you should trust because somebody told you something that wasn't even true. So frames have to be addressed. And going back to our text again, we see this is where the frame changed for Adam and Eve and all humanity, right? That when Adam and Eve sinned, then it brought that curse, it brought death upon the entire human race. So now we have to be born again. So that's a very powerful text, very powerful principle. Let me share one more item here before we close out here today. And this is kind of a preview for next week. But Matthew 6 and 33 is a kingdom frame. Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, we've read this all of our Christian lives. We know the power and importance of this text. I want to impress upon us right now, in terms of framing context, can you imagine what's a better frame than this? To have in your heart and your mind this truth, seek first, not second, not third, not, you know, in the mix somewhere, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Praise God. Praise God for the power to renew our minds, to be transformed by renewing of our mind, that these are blessings that we can walk in. And I want to challenge you today as we go into our reflection questions to let's go to now. Let's go to questions now and work on these questions right now. And let's apply what we've learned here on today. All right. Reflection questions. Either write this down or, you know, now or later. But first of all, regarding your frame, who are you? Who are you? Now, you are not your job. Don't say, who are you? I'm a preacher. No, that's not who you are. Nope. Who are you, right? You're a child of God. Amen. You're made in God's image and likeness. You're a saint, right? Through Christ. So who are you? Number two, false frames. What lies do you reject? And that can be very personal, right? So we all got, you know, things we deal with, maybe from a perspective of oppression or disrespect, things that people, you know, have said to you and about you, you know, or things the devil in your mind has lied to you about, or even what you say to yourself, right? I mean, devil sometimes is not the worst enemy we got. We are our own worst enemy sometimes. So what lies do you reject? Write that down. It's very personal. Number three, the frame of your purpose. All right, what do you do? Yeah, this is good. Tend and keep. What garden do you tend and keep? Well, obviously, you know, I'm a husband, father, grandfather, pastor, business owner, you know, citizen, prophetic voice. So what frame of your purpose do you recognize? And this is important because when you know your purpose, you got a good reason to say no to stuff, right? So I can say no to things, not because I don't want to or like to do some things. Those things just don't fit my purpose, so I don't do it. And I have no problem saying no because it does not fit my purpose. Number four, frame builders. Who are the key influencers in your life? You should know those people and honor those people, right? Of course, my dad who's here with me still, my mom was, and you know, I mean, pastors and people like Pastor Jerry and different ones in my life that you know of, some you don't know about. But we all have key influencers. Paul Scanlon, for example, the brother from England, is now an influencer in my life. Many of you, church members, I'm inspired by many of you. So who are the key influencers in your life? And listen, and there shouldn't be a list of 100 people in there. It's probably going to be like 10, 20, right? May not be a whole bunch of people in there. And there are people who are influencers, but there are key influencers. And then finally, on the frame builder's point, who do you influence? That's important. And you may not be aware of all those you influence. Now, this I know because when I do a message like this and put it out there, I'll get feedback from people. They're blessed by it. And you know, rule of thumb with social media and such in advertising, you normally get a 1% response, meaning one person who responded represents 100 who didn't respond. That's how that works. So your influence is more than you realize sometimes. Amen. All right. So again, look at those reflection questions. I'll put these on the blog tomorrow. When I post this message on the blog, I'm going to put the notes up and those questions up there. Obviously, I'm really earnest about that. I feel God has, you know, give me a mandate to teach this and to encourage you in this, because there are a lot of problems in the nation have happened because of people with bad frames and wrong frames. And then sometimes we are responding poorly for lack of understanding people's frames, and or our frames are not developed such that we have the strength of character and conviction to push back against the things that are wrong. Amen. So God bless you. Trust you were blessed by the word today. And there's a lot in here. I look forward to getting into in future messages as the Lord allows me to do so.